Okay, please turn to, in your Bible, turn to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. We'll start there. We're talking about Israel's fall, Israel's blinding, Israel's casting away, and the diminishing that went between their fall and their blinding. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. That's not happened yet. It hasn't happened. It's going to happen. It's guaranteed. Israel will have a bright future. Nevertheless, until God will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they look upon him whom they've pierced, and they'll mourn for him, until then, Israel has fallen from its peculiar treasure status. As a nation, they're not God's people. The nation of Israel. God will not be their God, and no one can come to God through Israel anymore. Let's look at it, you know. We'll look later in the Bible. I want us to look at Isaiah 8, verses 13 and 14. And see what it says regarding that. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, let him be your dread, for and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel. So the whole nation of Israel is talking about. And that tells of Israel's, where they messed up. They stumbled at the stone, the rock that upon which Christ built his kingdom church. They stumbled. They crucified him. So both houses of Israel, that's the entire nation of Israel, and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Well, what is that stone of stumbling and rock of offense? Peter had already agreed in Galatians 2. We see that he would go to the circumcision. He would write to the circumcision and leave it to Paul to preach the gospel of the uncircumcision to the heathen, to those that are not Jews in the Jewish religion. Actually, by then, it was the true circumcision, not including those that had remained apostate, those that had crucified the Lord. So we can see that in Galatians 2:9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, Paul speaking, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So there's a division. There's something that needs to be rightly divided. In 1 Peter, Peter wrote to Israel, not to us. It was after Israel had fallen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and we'll look at what Peter says to the Israel of God about a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, and we'll go through a few verses there, down through 8. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So here Jesus Christ is the rock, and these are little ones like the rock. They're little stones. They're lively stones. They've been enlivened. Talking about them before, how should I put it? Before, while they, you have an anointing. They had an anointing. They had the Spirit dwelling in them. They were responsible. You know, I was going to, I'm getting off on a rabbit trail. I was going to bring up Ananias and Sapphira. They died, they had knowledge that they should have been able to not lie and to not be greedy. They had not only knowledge, that's not the point. The point is that they had the Spirit within them, the unction. During that brief time there, before Israel was cast away. So, let me go on. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. In other words, he's my choice. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. He won't let you down, in other words. That's believing on, this is Israel that he's talking to, believing on the name of Jesus Christ, what his identity is, who he is. That's that gospel of God that we just went through. It describes who he is. It's his identity, his name, the name of Jesus. Verse 7, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders allowed, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient whereunto they were appointed. They were appointed. And that, I wonder if I can find that verse. There's a verse that describes that, how God can force people to do what they shouldn't do, but what they have been insisting in rebelling against God doing. Look at Revelation 17:17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree that their kingdom unto the beast, and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. In other words, you've gone this far, there's no turning back now. You're going to have to stay in your evil state and get the fulfillment of what happens. Just like with, not Herod, what was it? Pharaoh. They were set, they had to... had to go through with it, and they got drowned chasing after them. But, all right, so we can see that the stone of stumbling, the rock of offense, is the one who died on the cross. He's a person to be believed in, it says. And Romans 9:33, I think it is there. He's the one that died on the cross and who is made the head of the corner. He's the one to be believed. He was disallowed by the believers, by the builders, and that would be apostate Israel. And to believing Israel, he's the head of the corner. Christ, the head of the corner. And with all that in mind, we're going to go back to Isaiah 8, verses... Well, start with 14, go to 14 and 15, where we read before, he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many among them shall stumble. That was at the cross. They stumbled at the cross. And fall. That was when they blasphemed the Holy Ghost, the unforgivable sin. And be broken and snared. That's what we were just talking about there, that they were set in their way. They were trapped by them and taken. So look at Romans 11, verse 11. It talks about Israel's stumbling and then about Israel's fall. Not the same event. They're subsequent events. I say then, have they stumbled, past tense, that they should fall? God forbid. That's not... They didn't have to fall, in other words. Just because they stumbled, they didn't have to fall. They could have caught themselves. and not fallen, not committed that unforgivable sin. And it goes on, God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. I heard a sermon this morning where somebody thought that meant to the Gentiles like Cornelius. That's not what it's talking about at all. Cornelius wasn't saved to provoke anybody to jealousy. It says that, let me think, where is that? Acts 11. Let me get back there and see if I can find that. They rejoiced. It's Acts 11, somewhere around 11, 12, 13. Just looking just a second here. That's not where it is, I guess. It looks like 18. When you say, yeah, let me post that. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God. This is the Jews in Jerusalem that Peter is reporting this Cornelius incident to. They glorified God, saying, "Then God hath also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." That's different. Gentiles, a different repentance unto life. It's not talking about the salvation by which we're saved. The salvation that was beginning to be opened up to us by that statement there in Romans 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. It's not just Gentiles that blessed Israel and could come into Israel's program by Genesis 12:3. I will bless them that bless Israel, that bless thee and thy seed, is what it was given to and confirmed to later. So, have they stumbled that they should fall? Through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. It's not those Greeks that it's talking about, those God-fearing Gentiles that came to God through Israel's program. It's talking about a salvation that started as a pattern. God, Christ set it up as a pattern, starting with Paul and his salvation as an unforgivable sinner, not eligible for Israel's salvation. He had already not endured to the end. He was not savable in Israel's program. Look at Romans 11, verse 20. Well then, because of unbelief, they were broken off. I'm talking about those the branches in the vine of Israel that were broken off. And thou standest, it was because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Look at verse 15 again in Isaiah 8. It goes on beyond the stumbling, and it says falling, being broken, snared, taken. The prophecy is about Israel's gradual diminishing that Paul refers to in the Romans 11, verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So, if Israel fell earlier, sometime earlier, then, you know, the timing is all off. It's not at the time that they fell that the riches come to the Gentiles, or salvation coming to the Gentiles. In verse 11 up there, Romans 11:11. So, Israel's Romans 11, verse 12, diminishing, comes after its fall, which was in Romans 11:11, talked about in Romans 11:11. You can think of Israel's diminishing as the declining line, as Israel gets less and less opportunity to hear and believe Paul's gospel of Christ crucified. They already fell as a nation, but individually, Israelites could believe and become part of that remnant out of Israel according to the election or the choice of grace. They would believe Paul's gospel and be part of the body of Christ, no longer in Israel, no longer part of Israel. So It was about a quarter of a century that that was available, from about 34 A.D., maybe a few years after, the 3 years that's mentioned there in Galatians 1. We don't have any documentation or validation that he was preaching the gospel of Christ before Acts 13. So from Acts 13 to the time of about A.D. 59, so probably 20 years. That's a good long time, about a generation. Israel was blind and cast away in the last half chapter of Acts after that diminishing. That's what ended the diminishing. There was no more to diminish after they were cast away. You can think of Israel's casting away. Well, let's just go on. Let me skip over some of this. Israel was blinded. By the end of Acts, some people were saying that it was much earlier, hundreds of years earlier. But whatever, by the end of Acts, they were certainly blinded, and they had been the light of the Gentiles, but now they had been blinded. So now Israel is lowered to the position in which the Gentiles had always been. Gentiles had already been alienated and blinded, according to Ephesians 4, verses 17 and 18. Ephesians 4, 17, This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life that is, life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Because Israel rebelled and blasphemed the Holy Ghost, they have now lost their special standing with God. Israel is not now God's peculiar treasure. Israel is not God's people, and God is not their God. Not any more than an unbelieving Gentile. So that is Israel's only hope, is the salvation that all people can have now by believing Paul's gospel, the gospel by which Paul, an unforgivable sinner, was saved. So if we continue Isaiah 8, verse 16, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. So there were still some disciples there. There was the little flock, Peter, James, John, those of repute. And, the Bible says to bind it up to them. They're the ones that will understand the scriptures, in other words. And the rest, it'll be sealed away, the law, away from the rest, apostate Israel, in other words. It'll be seal the law among my disciples. That's the little flock, the kingdom church there in Jerusalem, until they attritioned away and ceased to exist. If the law is sealed among Christ's disciples, that means the disciples of Christ were still to keep the law after they stumbled, fell, were broken, snared, and taken after Israel, the nation, was. So the testimony was bound away from apostate Israel. It was sealed. That goes along with their blindness. They couldn't see it anymore. They couldn't see the need to, or the efficiency, the sufficiency of being saved, that it would save them. You know, they were still trusting their old, we'll wait for our Messiah thing, which they had missed the boat on, obviously. So it was sealed among the little flock disciples. And it still applied to Israel's believing church of God in Jerusalem and scattered, wherever they were. It's a good thing for them, like they're to keep the feast of the Passover for a memorial forever, it says. Not that that's any kind of salvation, but it's what they're told to do. It's hard for us to think of that because we're under grace. We're not under these restrictions, under constraints like that. So After Christ reconciled the world unto himself by dying for our sins, Israel is not keeping the law for justification, but rather for obedience and for a memorial. So yes, there was a change in the law, but the Bible never says that there was an elimination of the law. Let's continue reading in Isaiah 8. That's verse 16 again, and we'll go through 17 this time. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Centuries of waiting for their Messiah. Waiting upon the Lord and looking for him is what Israel is doing now. Apostate Israel. What's left, what there is today. Many of them are not aware of their separation from God, but it has happened. Israel is no longer God's people, according to Hosea 1:9. Then said God, call his name, Lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. You know, and I don't have my paper Bible open right now to look at Usher's estimation of when that occurred, but it was at least 400 years before Christ came. So God calls them, Lo am I. That was when the prophecy was given. And it was, you know, after the prophecy was given that it happened there in Jesus' time, that they were, that they fell from being God's favored nation, God's precious treasure, and his holy nation, and his kingdom of priests. That was put off far into the future, when God will make it happen. But God calls them, Lo am I. He says, I will not be your God during this present time. But the precious prophecy in the next verse is in Hosea 1:10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. So those that were no longer called God's people, Israel, will be called God's people. So it's not somebody replaces them. It's not somebody takes over Israel's promises. Israel will be brought back. God will keep his promises to Israel that he made to Israel. So God is going to bring Israel back, and that is what Israel is prophesied, pardon me, to be doing in Isaiah 8, verse 17. Excuse me just a minute. Isaiah 8, 17, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. So do you see that that is what is going on right now for Israel? It has nothing to do with us. In the body of Christ, by believing Paul's gospel of Christ crucified, now it's now called the gospel of the grace of God to all men, not just to the Jew first and also to the Greek. All of these writings in Isaiah that we've been reading have to do only with Israel's prophecy. All right, let's continue on in the passage to verse 18 in Isaiah 8. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel. Remember, Israel requires a sign. Signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. I and the children whom the Lord hath given me is referring to Israel's 12 apostles, the children which whom the Lord has given me. Associated, you know, also those other disciples who followed Jesus in his earthly ministry to the circumcision. And we have the name of one of them. I don't recall it exactly. I think, wasn't it Justus? Let me see. It's in Acts 1. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, whose surname was Justus, and Matthias. Those were the two that they chose between, or the Lord chose between to be the 12th apostle when Judas had hanged himself and died, and God was still dealing with Israel as a nation. So he replaced it. Now, when you get to Acts 12, after Acts 7, when they fell, and James is killed with a sword, he's not replaced. God was no longer dealing with Israel as a nation. All the apostles died off and were not replaced. There was no apostolic succession mentioned in the Bible. So, the signs and the wonders in Israel are those Mark 16, verses 15 to 20 signs that you find in the scriptures there in Mark 16, at the end of the book of Mark. Those signs followed the believers in Israel's kingdom gospel. That was part of Christ's earthly ministry. It says he worked with them still. And it was in that year, acceptable year of the Lord, after his ascension back to heaven, that he was working, doing these signs with Israel, for Israel, and in front of unbelieving Israel so that they would believe. So the believers at that time were sent with those true signs to Israel at that time, and not still available, of course. I mean, the situation has totally changed. These verses in Isaiah describe what goes on regarding apostate Israel, and after they rejected their Messiah, and even more so after they blasphemed the Holy Ghost in Acts 7. Apostate Israel was becoming what's called the rest, that were blinded, that Paul refers to in Romans 11:7, and we'll end with this verse for today. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So those that chose Paul's gospel received it. The election. In that case, it's those that chose Israel's gospel. The little flock, isn't it? That obtained what Israel sought for. I misspoke before. It wasn't the body of Christ that received what Israel sought for. That would be starting something new, a new doctrine that's not verified anywhere in Scripture. That would violate 2 Peter 1:20, the principle that is mentioned there, that nothing is of its own private interpretation but must match the rest of the doctrine in Scripture. All right, we're done for now, unless there are questions.